chose interviewing me to see if he would take the job to mentor me. And so once they get finished talking, he just looks, turns at me, swivels his chair, his body language, very assertive, looks straight at me. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for the hard questions. He looked at me and said, "Well, Cliff, I just have one question for you. Have you ever been broken?" And it caught me so off guard. Wow. I kind of looked to the side. I was like, "Whoa, what just happened?" I kind of laughed. I chuckled a little bit. "Have I ever been broken?" And so I just laid it all out there.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host, and I will be joined shortly, of course, as usual, with my co-host, best-selling author, Chris Bollinger. So today, we've got the second half of our interview with Cliff Barna, and man, this is a fun interview, man. Cliff was an amazing guy, such a humble heart, and you guys are going to get a ton of value out of this for sure. You're also going to get a unique opportunity to hear a little bit about Craig Fry's influence in Craig Barna's life. Craig Fry is, of course, our president at CLC, and I always love hearing other people talk about someone. It tells you a little bit more about who they are, and you're even going to get a little bit of a sneak peek into Wendy, Craig's wife, and what I guess she's known in the wrestling world as Matt Mama. So you're gonna hear more about that as well. So great interview coming up. Real quick before we jump in, again, remember this is a listener-supported podcast, so we would greatly, greatly appreciate your support. If you choose to do so, please go to our website at clchq.org. At the top right-hand side, you can click the big blue donate button. It brings up another box in a new window. Click the drop-down menu. Well, first, designate how much you'd like to give. Click the drop-down menu, then pick National Fund, and then in the comments, make sure you type in there, Empowered Manhood. That way we know you found us through the podcast. And then finally, my book is out, Manhood Empowered by the Light of the Gospel. You can get that at Amazon.com. And it's been so exciting to get feedback from so many different people from all over the country. Thank you so much for supporting, for buying the book. Please, if you got the book, if you read it and you love it, please write an Amazon review. That would be, it means so much. For authors, it is the hardest thing to get reviews on Amazon. So, man, I would really appreciate that. All right, guys, so here we go. Let's dive in now to the second half of our interview with Cliff Barna. So here's what I love, and this happened in another guy's life that I know that I think is so profound, and I'm staying attuned to how God's working this in my life as well recently. So going back, like I said, you put football on the altar, right? To the best of your ability, you put football on the altar and said, "Okay, God, if you're real, I'm laying this at your feet." And then God eventually does take football away from you, but it's from your cold, dead hands. Do you know what I mean? And so what I mean is, I think during our conversation we talked about it, and I may have said this before on the show, but you know, I imagine our relationship with God is often such that we think we're committing to Him. And in doing that, we underestimate how faithful and committed He is to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay? So we commit to Him and say, "Okay, God, look, I'm laying this at the altar," which might have been a feeble attempt, actually, at being, right, sacrificing something you love. You probably, maybe deep down, didn't want to get rid of it. However, God knew that was best for you. And whether you knew it or not, that was in alignment with God's will. And so to the best of your ability, you actually, to some extent, aligned with God's will. And then God made it happen and showed His faithfulness to you versus your unfaithfulness to Him.
Right.
Does that make sense? I love that you were at least humble enough to recognize in that moment. And your first reaction wasn't necessarily resentment or anger, but was, "Thank you, God. This is actually an answer to prayer. I just realized that.
Yep.
Wow. That is just powerful. And how, yeah, I just think that's a theme I've been seeing in different men's lives now for whatever reason. I don't know. I hadn't stuck out to me before, but yeah, God's faithfulness to you is greater than your commitment.
Oh, yeah.
Praise
yes,
God.
Yes. And it was actually during that time when I went back to coaching, that's when my wife and I, because she was at Bethel. She played softball at Bethel. She's from Paris, Tennessee. And that's how we met. You know, and here's another thing. Because during these times, of course, I'm, you know, trying my hardest to find the right woman or chasing women and all that stuff. And I remember, again, praying to God on the side of my bed. It was the apartment. And I said, God, I'm going to trust you to send the right woman to me. I'm going to stop trying to find. I'm going to stop trying to seek. And I'm just going to leave it to you. Kid you not, guys. I don't know. I can't remember the length of time it was. But I do know it was the summer. What would it be? Of 2010. So going into the summer of 2010. So probably late April, May of 2010. She messages me on Facebook. And she said, hey, how's your summer going? Just wanted to check with you. I'm like, wait a second. She was in a relationship. She must not be in a relationship anymore. And so I go to her Facebook page. Oh, of course, she's single. And I saw that. And guys, I said, hey, I messaged her back. I'm doing great. You want to go see a movie? So quick. And it was, we both talk about it this day. It was the longest date ever. We went and saw Night and Day. It was a movie, Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, and we talked for the longest. And 6 months later, about Christmas Eve of 2010, I proposed to her. And then another 6 months later, in 2011, June 4th, we get married. And so it just happened so quick. But we both knew what we wanted. And the thing about it, though, that I'm amazed about our relationship is that we both, especially her, have a sense of humility, and we're always rushing to say, I'm sorry, or I messed up. And she has a sports background. She gets the coaching side of things. She has a huge heart. Her background is a nurse. She's a nurse. She's now the vice president of a division in HCA Healthcare. You want to talk about a huge blessing, and the number one way that God shows his grace to me is through my wife. We have three beautiful children, 8-year-old daughter, Eliane Barna, 5-year-old son, Lincoln Josiah, and then our 2-year-old Benjamin David, that we're just so blessed. So thankful. And I don't know. My wife is she's Wonder Woman. I mean, she one mother, wife, everything. It just
says the guy with the Batman comic book cover hanging over his left shoulder. Which, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it. But I love how you just went into the DC world, compared your wife to Wonder Woman. That's beautiful.
Yep. So Casey and I, we moved to the Nashville area because of an opportunity for me to teach at a Christian school, and that was in 2015. And we wanted to go into where it was a bigger area. We always felt like Nashville was going to be a place outside Nashville would be a place that we would live. And she has some family members in Nashville as well. And so that's where she got her job at Centennial when she was on the floor still as a nurse. And so I was teaching at Christian Community Schools in White House, and it wasn't even a year that I was approached to become the head of school for the school. And I was a little taken back. I was like, well, I don't have administrative background. I was humbled. I was honored that I was approached for such a position. And so the board came up with, what if we had somebody to come in and be a mentor to you for a few years and then hand the baton off to you? And I was like, you know what? I like that idea. That would be great. And so the search began, and next thing you know, the name Mark Massey came up. And so it was during the summer, and Mark came in, and with the president of the school and the pastor of the church, Bob Cook, the three of us were sitting down at the table. It was my first time meeting Mark. And, you know, here I am. I'm in a coat, button-ups, you know, shirt, clean haircut, clean shave. And I'm just ready for this because it was an interesting interview because we weren't interviewing him to take the job. He was interviewing me to see if he would take the job to mentor me. And so we sit down, and him and Mr. Cook, they talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and I'm just listening kind of off to the side. And then once they get finished talking, he just looks, turns at me, swivels his chair, his body language, very assertive, looks straight at me. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for the hard questions. I'm ready for what we deal with conflict. What if we have a security issue? What kind of curriculum? How are you going to support teachers? How are you going to promote sports, whatever it may be? How are you going to deal with parents or build great relationships with parents? I'm ready for those. He looks at me, and this is the only question he asked in the whole interview. He looked at me and said, "Well, Cliff, I just have one question for you. Have you ever been broken?" And it caught me so off guard. Wow. I kind of looked to the side. I was like, "Whoa, what just happened?" I kind of laughed. I chuckled a little bit. Have I ever been broken? And so I just laid it all out there. The next hour, I just told him my whole life story and pretty much told him I don't have it all together. And when I finished, he said, "Cliff, I told my wife on the way here that I was not going to take the job." He said, "But because of you, I'm going to take the job."
Wow.
And later on, what I found out, he said, "Cliff, I wanted to see if you could be someone who was going to continually learn, who was going to be humble, and that you were broken." He was like, "I was not going to take this position if the person under me thought they had it all together." And I said, "Well, I'm so thankful you did," because he became a mentor and even in so many ways a father figure to me to this day. We talk just about every day. Guys, I know this sounds... Maybe please hear me out when I say every time I've prayed for something, God has provided. Because before I went to CCS, I was praying to God, "Lord, please give me a friend that not only understands athletics, but that is also Christian and that I can grow in my faith." Because I had friends on kind of both sides, if you will. I hate to say it that way, but I had friends that were heavy into athletics, but they, you know, that maybe there's a God. Then I had friends who were, you know, pastors in seminary and very Christ-centered, but didn't really understand athletics. It's like, man, I'm kind of an oddball here. I was like, "God, can I please have somebody?" And lo and behold, here's Mr. Massey that comes into the picture. And I didn't realize, I was like, man, this is an answer to prayer. This is, because he's coached basketball. He played baseball at David Lipscomb. He understands sports, loves football. And just, you know, he has a heavy administrative background. He came from West Tennessee as well, which is crazy to think about. But further south of Jackson, where I was north of Jackson, he took a school, Adamsville High School, in the 80s. They were at the bottom ranking school in the state of Tennessee. He wouldn't say he did. He says him and his team, the teachers, they brought it to one of the top 10 schools in the state of Tennessee within a few years when he took over as a principal. So obviously I have a lot of respect and love for him and his family. But yeah, have you been broken? I will never forget that moment. Important question I think anybody's ever asked me.
Cliff, I want to go back to Huntsville for a second.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm seeing a pattern in your life, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right, where at key times in your life, there's been somebody that God's put there to kind of help you out. So when you were in Huntsville playing in arena football, I think you're pretty much on your own, right? I mean, you went down there. You live down there, right? I mean, during the season, right?
I did.
And so you're fairly fresh out of college. You're still at Bethel coaching during the football season, but arena's in the, what, late winter or springtime? Is that when they play? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Bye. All right. So you mentioned a worship leader at a church. So you were attending The Rock, and you met a worship leader there at really a pivotal time in your life, right? I mean, this is where they basically tell you you're not traveling with the team. And so at a pivotal time, I mean, can you talk a little bit about that person? Because it seems like you had people in your life who may not have been big characters in your life, but they really were there at key times.
That's a great point. Yes. And Kevin Eakin, he actually played a little bit with the Buffalo Bills for a little bit. He may have been with some other teams as well. That one I remember. But Kevin and I, we just connected right off the bat. And you make such a great point. I've never thought about that, Chris. At key points in my life when I was young to today, there's always been someone God has provided me. I appreciate that perspective. That's really neat. But yes, Kevin was a huge part of that. And so getting connected to the church, so much so, Kevin and I, we started a Bible study for the team. And so we just started it in his apartment. And his wife, Cheyenne, she was a worship leader as well. She would sing worship. And it was just me, Kevin, and a couple other guys. But then that blew up. I kid you not. And I can't remember the name of the study because we had to make copies. And we had these guys, big old football players, just about the whole team coming in to the apartments. And we were having Bible studies and talking about Jesus and men talking about their brokenness. And it was just amazing. I'm glad you went back to that. But yeah, because Kevin, he has such a charismatic type leadership, love for the Lord. All he would listen to was worship music. He doesn't listen to rock. He doesn't listen to blues. He won't listen to anything. It's always worship me. He wants to sing about Jesus all the time. He's a songbird for Jesus. There was one time, I'll never forget, I was talking to one of the offensive linemen, and he was asking me if I can pick him up later on in the day because he needed a ride from somewhere. I said, yeah. I said, I'll come get you, Big O. And he left, and then Kevin, he was there kind of off to the side. He came up to me. He said, Cliff, and I've never noticed this before. He said, Cliff, you show love and respect for everybody. He said, I don't know if you realize this, whether they're poor, they're rich, Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, your sense of loving on people is so consistent. He was like, I've never seen anything like that before. I said, well, Kevin, I appreciate that, man. Aren't we supposed to do that? That was kind of my response. I was kind of taken back by that. But, you know, he opened my eyes to that. And even to this day, he's in the Nashville area now. He's leading a church, him and his wife, on the west side of Nashville. And so I still have connections with him, and he was telling me not too long ago, I was texting him, he was saying how one of the guys that we played ball with, him and his wife, they actually watch their service online and everything, so he's doing really well. Thank you for going back to that point,
well,
Chris.
I raise it because I went through most of my adult life really not connecting with men because I wasn't really open to it. I kind of kept myself in a bubble where I would, you know, I'd play tennis with certain guys, I'd work with certain guys, I'd go to church with certain guys, and I would connect with them a little bit, you know, in that area, but I would restrict it to that area. I really wouldn't open myself to having long conversations with guys. I would kind of protect myself by keeping them a little bit at arm's length, and it seems like you don't do that. So, you know, you open yourself, you're humble enough to, you know, connect with guys in any situation, but be open to having that expand to spill over to another area. And I think that's instructive for a lot of guys like me, you know, because if I were in Huntsville and I were doing arena football, I would just do what you used to do, which is just focus on the football, right? I want to be the best possible player. I want to see where this goes and kind of isolate myself to focus on that one thing. Whereas you were obviously focusing on football, trying to be the best player you could be, but you were open to developing relationships with other guys and, hey, let's have a Bible study and, you know, connecting with guys in a way that I used to be pretty reluctant to do. And God can't work through other people. Well, God can do anything, but I think it's more difficult. God will put people in your path, but if you just kind of walk past them and keep going, then you're going to miss the opportunity to connect with them and have God work through them.
Right. Such a good point. And that takes risk, though.
Right.
One thing I've,
right.
As open as I am and as transparent as I am, as you can imagine, you can get hurt doing that.
Sure.
But I think it's worth the risk. And it is just a part of, it's just how I've been. I don't know. And it even shows in my leadership, in my servant leadership too, of whether I'm under somebody or I'm with somebody, it's how are we going to do this together? And this is the issues I'm having. What are the issues you're having? And you remind me though, it helps me now. That is so interesting, Chris. In some situations that I'm in now, that can be intimidating that I do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys, and they may don't know how to take me because I'm so open with some things. But that's such a good point, man. You got me thinking about some other things that are happening.
Well, I mean, I think it's important. I mean, you have a lot of different roles, but one of your roles is coach, and I've been a coach. I've had a lot of coaches for me in sports. And, you know, when a coach is kind of a know-it-all, he can still be a good coach, but I think he's less effective than when he's open to learning. And you're very open to learning. I mean, you've mentioned that the reason that guy became your mentor was because he could sense in you that you were open to learning.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's another critical skill for guys to have is not just a desire to learn from others, but being so open about that people see that in you. It is a risk. I mean, as a coach, if you are perceived as trying to learn, well, how good a coach are you? I mean, coaches are supposed to know their sport, right? They're supposed to know their area of expertise, but everybody can learn. And I've just seen a lot of value in coaches who are, yes, they have expertise, but they're also open to learning as they go, because that improves their ability to coach, but it also improves the experience for whoever they're coaching.
Wow. Yes. Very good point. That's interesting you mentioned that, because with wrestling, I had a student of mine ask me yesterday, did you do wrestling in college? I said, actually, I haven't wrestled at all.
Right. Right.
Wrestled at all. And that was something that, because I'm going into my fourth year with this sport, at the beginning, as you can imagine, that was something that was very intimidating, because
right.
I was like, wrestling's a technical sport,
yep.
guys.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You want to talk about being very specific and different styles and all that stuff, depending on each wrestler. And so it was really intimidating. But because of what you just said, I was willing to say, okay, I'm going to learn. And I was very open with the guy. I tell him on the upfront. And this is a good place to talk about this too. So when we moved to this area for me to take on this position at Liberty Creek, this is a first year school in Gallatin, Tennessee. And I'm coaching football and wrestling season goes right into, it starts right when football is ending. And sometimes they cross over depending how far you go in football. And so I'm stressing while I'm coaching football, because it's like, man, what am I going to do with wrestling? How, it's only me. God, I need somebody. Again, praying, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, I need somebody to help. I can't do this on my own, God. I can't do it. And I kept trusting. I kept trusting it was going to work out. But at the same time, fellas, I'm praying, God, we need a church. My family need, more important prayer, right? My family needs a church where we can grow and where we can worship and serve you. And so after a football practice one afternoon, I go to sit down in the laundry room and a non-faculty coach is sitting in there. And he said, Coach Barna, don't you have a preaching background? I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, I talked a little about seminary and a little bit of my background. And then he started talking about his church, how they're a new plant in Gallatin. They came from Goodlettsville. And I'm sitting there putting two and two together. I said, wait a second. I said, you're talking about Tim Stutler's church from Goodlettsville, that plant and one in Gallatin, aren't you? He said, yeah, how do you know about that? I said, that's the church I'm ordained in. He said, what? And so he told me about Gallatin Church. And I said, wait a second. I said, we're going to come check you guys out this Sunday. We're coming to worship with you this Sunday. He said, okay. So we get there on Sunday and we're meeting in a skating rink right now. It's very laid back, Bible believing church. And so I'm sitting there talking to Tony after worship. And here comes the head pastor, Craig Fry. He's got kind of standing there, and I'm talking to him. I'm saying, yeah, you know, with football, just I've played D-line. I said, but man, I've got to figure out wrestling. I'm the head coach of wrestling, and I respect the sport. I need help in it. And Craig's over there. We haven't even met yet. He just came over. He said, did you say wrestling? He just lit up. And so Tony said he actually has a heavy wrestling background. I said, and so that we got introduced and everything, and we just clicked so fast. And the next thing you know, I never want to press somebody on doing something, but it was a couple weeks later. Craig and I were on the phone. I said, Craig, can you please pray about something? Can you think about something? Pray about something. I said, I need help with wrestling. Would you consider that if God allows it, if you feel moved to, will you think about that? And he said, I can do that. And so that was Friday. On Sunday, I show up to church. He comes up to me. He shows a picture of some new shoes that he bought for wrestling. that was fast, Craig. And so I was like, are you really in? He's like, yeah. So we were all jazzed up and excited about that. And he's been such huge blessing, not in so many different ways. And I know Craig would not want the credit, but his leadership as a pastor, as preaching, the church there, not just him, but that whole body of believers. And then with him being with, because I want a certain culture with our wrestlers. You know, I can help with that, and I want that to be the right culture. So, I mean, the way God has provided, and Craig is he has such a teachable heart and such a sense of humility. It's been amazing. It's been such a great thing. And then even having a younger guy that's been a state wrestler who actually married my niece, he's been helping out with wrestling. Obadiah is his name, and he's a believer. He's does worship at his church. It's like, we're going to surround these men with right men. Believing men is my philosophy there. So no, it's been amazing. And God always provides. Oh man, I can't tell you how hard I was stressing that, but.
Well, and real quick, just because I know we've got listeners from all over, and some are familiar with CLC and some are not. And so just to let guys know, so Craig Fry is the president of CLC. Mm-hmm. Right now. And so, so right now God has put Craig obviously in your life there, Cliff, and in some profound ways, which is so exciting.
Now I have something to razz Craig about, because I can say that he, you know, went out and bought a new pair of shoes so he could wrestle or coach wrestling.
That's right.
God, I'll have to ask him about this. Ask him, who is Matt Mama?
Matt Mama.
So his wife, Wendy, oh my goodness. He is a wrestling fiend now.
Oh yeah,
she's
his wife is.
Yeah, his wife is all into it now. She went to our first tournament and she was like, "Oh my goodness, this is awesome!" So it's been so neat to see. Now I really got him right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, dude. And Wendy is one of those people. She is like, she's like all in on whatever she does. And especially being Craig's wife, she is all in on Craig Fry, which is a beautiful thing to see, their marriage and relationship. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Man. Yep. Okay. So, man, Cliff, this has been incredible. What an amazing story. Thank you for your authenticity and transparency in sharing it. It just, again, reminds me of God's faithfulness. Yes. In our lives. I mean, that's it is so clear as you share your story that it's not about Cliff. It's about God and his faithfulness to you. Amen. And that's where I hope is a really good reminder for the guys who are listening right now. Hearing your story and what you pointed out in terms of the different people along the way. And are we willing to be open, you know, to people stepping into our lives and having some say? Do we see them as God's provision to speak into our lives, you know? Because sometimes it doesn't feel so good. Right. Sometimes it can be a little frustrating or like you said, it can be scary. Yeah. to allow someone in like that. But so clear, man, Cliff, that God has been putting people in your life and that his faithfulness to us overall, just in general, is so much infinitely greater than our commitment to him.
Yes.
Man, thank you for your story and your willingness to come on. And so, Cliff, it's not like you're, again, a social media giant or anything like that. So I don't even know if I'll edit this out if I have to, but is there a way that if anybody wanted to reach out and connect or find out more about how they could do that?
No, that would be great. I do have Twitter. So it's CBBARNA 67. So CBBARNA 67. That's my Twitter handle. Instagram is the same thing as well. It's great. Funny you mentioned the social media. The other day, 2 days ago, a student of mine said, "Coach, you need to start a podcast." And I was like, interesting.
Yeah, I'm about
to go on
that.
A podcast. And I've had some people say that. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. He said, "I'll help you with it." So,
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I'm sure Chris and I are available if you want some help in getting started too, man. I could see that, man. That'd be amazing. And then I'm just waiting for the day that you end up in a CLC group, which I know is coming, not to put you on the spot. It's coming. You don't enter into Craig Fry's That's sphere right. of influence and not end up in a CLC group at some point. So I'm sure he'll reel you in. But brother, it will. I'm telling you, you are made for it, man. You are made for it. And you will. Like, it's so funny. You got CLC, the values running through your veins without knowing it, which is so cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, man. Well, Cliff, let me pray for you as we end our time together here.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Cliff's story. Thank you, God, for his willingness and transparency of coming on and sharing, God. And Lord, we praise you for who you are. Oh my goodness, God, this is what our stories should do, Father. They should reflect your glory, Lord, and your goodness and faithfulness. And man, did that do that. Just fills us, God, with encouragement and confidence in you, Father, over and above us. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your provision so profoundly and so abundantly in Cliff's life and in each one of our lives. And so, God, lift up Cliff, his wife, his family. Pray that, God, that you'd continue to protect them, provide for them, Lord. Your favor would rest on them, Lord, and you'd continue to work through them. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Cliff, thanks for being with us,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Greatly appreciate it.